All right, open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 5 for the message this morning. I've been preaching to you last several weeks out of this chapter as we've been here in Acts, in the first part of Acts for a while now, looking at the early days of the church, what is New Testament Christianity, what's the church all about. We've learned several key things, and I want to show you something here this morning that I trust will be a blessing to you. I actually had this thought that I want to give you. I got this thought, this idea, last week, last Sunday night when I was preaching. I was in the middle of the message, and this thought hit me. And as soon as the service was over, I wrote it down on a piece of paper so I wouldn't forget it. And then I couldn't find that piece of paper. I was searching all over the place for it, and when I emptied my pockets when I got home, I laid it on the dresser, and then put something on top of that. But I did find it, and developed the message around that thought. So I hope that it'll be a blessing to you this morning. But I want to pull something out of this text here today. Actually, it's in verse 3. But let's read the first couple of verses here out of the fifth chapter. Pay real close attention to verse 3. That'll be my text verse. The Bible says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Now, I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, who do we think we are? Who do we think we are? Now, you're going to have to listen. I'm going to get to that, but I got to lay a little foundation first. But I want you to just follow me, and we'll eventually get there in just a few minutes. But the question, who do we think we are? Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless and in the message. Our Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. And Lord, we're thankful for the record of the early church. And Lord, we can see as a benchmark what the church is supposed to be like and how it's supposed to function. Lord, thank you for including the good along with the bad. We can learn from the good. We can also learn what not to do from the bad. And so, Father, I pray that you will bless this morning and help us to see from this story what we need to see that will help us as we are serving in the church here. And Lord, just pray for your blessing to be upon the service. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me and enable me as I speak. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts today. And that, Lord, if there's even one soul who is here this morning that is not 100% sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, Lord, I pray that you will have liberty to speak to that heart. Lord, may folks be saved this morning, just trusting in your hand to be upon the service, and that you'll bless your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to kind of pull a thought here out of this passage of Scripture. But before I get to that, let me just take a moment and kind of lay a little foundation here. We've been looking at these first four and a half chapters. We're not quite through the fifth chapter yet, just basically down to, through verse 11 is as far as we've gotten in the fifth chapter. But we've been looking at these chapters, and the point that I've been making over and over and over all the way through is how that what is really happening here is the work of the unseen hand of God. When you think about it, that's what these first four and a half chapters have been all about. You remember at Pentecost, what really happened at Pentecost? Well, I can tell you what happened. God showed up. I mean, in a powerful way, in a great way, to where the disciples were able to preach the Word of God to all these thousands of people, and these people who did not speak their language were able to understand what they were saying. And how do you explain that? Well, the only way to explain it is to realize that God showed up. God was in on what they were doing. The unseen hand of God was clearly demonstrated on the day of Pentecost. You continue reading, and if you read what the Bible says, you can see that with each event, with each chapter, what it reveals to us is, hey, God again showed up. I mean, it's really amazing when you stop and think about it. All the events that happened are because of the unseen reality of God. I mean, God was there. We saw it in the second chapter with Pentecost. We saw it in the next chapter when Peter and John went over to the temple to pray, and there was a man that was at the gate who was crippled and had been all his life, and 40 years of age now, but the man is crippled, and Peter and John walk by, and he says, do you have any alms for the poor? And Peter says, well, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have we'll give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, and boom, just like that, the guy gets up and is gloriously saved and healed of his infirmity. And how do you explain that? Well, I'll tell you how you explain it. God showed up. And then you just continue on. You get into the next chapter, and they're released from jail, and they go back to the house and where they were holding church, and they all prayed and asked the Lord to open more doors for them to be able to preach. And so as the doors were opened for them, and God heard their prayer and God blessed them, God reached down and shook the building for them. You say, well, wow, God shook the building. Yeah, God showed up again. And so over and over and over, we see in this book the unseen hand of God working and moving and blessing and using these men to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you turn the chapter, you're used to seeing all these positive things. You're used to seeing God show up and do the positive things, and we've emphasized that. But now you turn the chapter, and here is the devil raising his ugly head in the church, and God showing up, the unseen hand of God again shows up and puts the devil in his place. And so really, this is the unseen reality making himself very clear and very present in the church. And Ananias and Sapphira come in, and they have schemed to sell this land and keep back part of the money, and then act like they were offering the rest of it to the church. God said, "No, we're not letting that in here. We're not having that in here." And they were smitten of God right in front of everybody. You look at verse 11. When the people saw what God had done, there was great fear that came upon all the church. And so, folks, when you think about it, that's the great teaching of the Bible: the reality, the presence, the seeing of the unseen. I mean, God showing up. And when you think about it, that is all the way through the Bible. And that's what I've been trying to get you to see over the last couple of messages here, what we have in this passage is God showing up and God being God. Now, folks, this is a reality. And this is, as I said last week, this is something that we have forgotten today. You know, we have forgotten that God is God. And we need to get back to the reality of the fact that God is God. Now, question: is the message of the gospel just an appeal to all of us to get together and somehow or another get all men everywhere back on some kind of an even keel? Is the gospel just an international appeal that says to the nations and to people of the world, Let's solve the race problems and the religion problems and the poverty problems, and let's fix all our differences, and let's all sit down and at the conference table and make the world a better place to live. Is that Christianity? No, my friend. And that's what man has reduced Christianity to. Christianity, as we have seen in this passage of Scripture, is the fact that there is a God, and that God has sent His Son, and His Son has died on the cross for our sin and made a way for man to have his sin forgiven, and that's the message of Christianity. I mean, we need to get back to the realization that God is God, and all men everywhere are going to have to stand before God and give an account. And the only way that man can stand before God is to meet God on God's terms. We need to let God be God. And folks, that is something that is forgotten about today. Now, why is the world so anti God? Why are we fighting against truth? Why are we fighting against God? Well, that leads me to the thought that I had last Sunday night that I want to share with you this morning. Look, please, at this third verse. I want you to notice what this third verse says. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath, what's the next word? Satan. Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to whom? The Holy Ghost. Now, folks, I've been sharing with you over the last couple of messages that what we have in this passage, what stands out in this passage of Scripture, is the fact that God is God, and God showed up here. The unseen hand of God was clearly demonstrated in this passage. God showed up in this passage, but I want you to realize that there is another unseen reality that is clearly portrayed in this passage. And that's the unseen reality of the devil. Folks, there is a God, but there also is a devil. And we need to realize that, and we need to understand that, and recognize that the devil is fighting to hinder, to thwart, to stop, to tear up, to destroy, to ruin. The devil is doing everything in his power to stop the work of the church. He was trying to stop it here. Be assured, he's trying to stop it today. And we need to realize what's going on in this world, and realize that the devil is busy. Now, notice what the Lord revealed to Peter. He said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Did you catch that? To the Holy Ghost. In other words, God was there. And that is what I tried to get you to see last Sunday night, that the world has forgotten this point. But the devil was there as well. All right? And we need to understand that this is the battle that is raging in our society. Let me ask you a question, folks. Let me ask you a question. Did any of us make this world that we live in? No. Whose world is this? Who made this world? I mean, this is God's planet, folks. God made this world. This is God's universe. God made the universe. We did not make it. We did not bring ourselves into it. This is God's world. I mean, everything that is was made by God. God made this universe. God made this planet. God put us on this planet. He is the author of everything. He is the sustainer of everything. We live our lives under Him. And so that leads me to ask this question, who do we think we are? Folks, God's given us a book. And who do we think we are messing with this book? This is God's book. This is not man's book. This is God's word. And yet man sets and has decided that man wants to change what's in this book. Folks, we're not to be changing what's in this book. This is God's book. We ought to leave it alone. He said so over in the last chapter of Revelation. He told us, he said, now look, don't be messing with my book. There's judgment that is awaiting those who mess with my book. But you see, here we are today, And all of a sudden, man, we have forgotten God, and man has become the center of the universe, and we think it's all about us, and we think that, you know, we can just do whatever we want to do. And folks, what I'm wanting you to realize here is that God is God, and we need to let God be God and quit messing with God and just read the book and follow what's in the book and do what God says. Instead of taking God and shoving him over here in the corner and doing what we want to do. And that's where we are in our world today. Now that leads me to ask this question. Who do we think we are? Hey folks, when it comes to the matter of salvation, who do we think we are? I mean, are we going to tell God, well, God, I don't want to go your way. I want to go my way. No, folks, that's not the way it works. There is a plan of salvation, and God's the one that gave it to us. It's the only one that appeases his wrath and his justice. It is the only one that he has provided for us. And for us to sit around and say, well, God, I'm not going to trust your son. I'm going to trust the church. No, God said you're to trust his son, not the church. The church never saved anybody, and it's never going to save anybody. And so here we are, we're saying, well, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. My question is, who do you think you are? I mean, you're not God. You need to listen to what God has to say. All right, now everybody understand where I'm going this morning? All right, now, three little quick things, and I'll let you go. First of all, from this passage of Scripture, from the third verse primarily, I want you to notice the spiritual conflict that is revealed. Folks, you know, we're in a battle. You know, we are in a battle. It's an unseen battle. You've got an unseen God and you've got an unseen devil. And it's interesting that here, the first little time that trouble comes up, remember, everything's been going just hunky-dory in the church. Everything's been going great. Man, God's blessing. And then all of a sudden, conflict comes. Why did the conflict come? Well, because Satan filled Ananias' heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Here's the devil. Here's this unseen devil. And notice the phrase, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Here we have in one sentence great conflict revealed. Folks, there is a real God, but also understand there is a real Satan. And I have been speaking to you about the unseen reality of God. I've been speaking to you about how God showed up and revealed himself as an integral part of all that was happening in the early church. And now I want you to notice that there is another person in the realm of the spiritual. And that other person is the unseen devil. He is real. Satan, Lucifer, the prince of the power of the air, the accuser of the brethren, the liar, the murderer. And he is a real, real entity. He is a real person. And that's the conflict that we're in. But again, you can see the bankruptcy of modern thinking. You know, man has decided, well, we don't need God anymore. You know, we've ruled God out. We've made ourselves the foundation. We've said, well, we don't need what God says. We'll just take the Bible and we'll take it out of our schools and we'll take it out of our government and we'll take it out of our lives. We'll change the Bible. We'll make it say what we want it to say instead of what it says. And we'll take Jesus out of the Bible and we'll take the deity of Christ out of the Bible. So we're gonna change the Bible. But here's the bankruptcy of modern thinking. You got all these people that deny God now. And the God is dead movement that started back in the 60s. And this philosophy that there is no God and God is, asleep or out on a trip somewhere, like Peter said. And as bad as that is, you've got the other side where they say, devil, you mean there's an evil force? You mean, oh, you surely don't believe that. Well, folks, I believe that. And I believe that because it's revealed here in the Scriptures. I mean, the Bible tells us that there is a real devil. The Bible is very clear there is a real devil who is out to destroy. But free-thinking people today mock the very mention of God, and they don't believe in God, but now they don't believe in the devil either. I mean, to the world, man is just another animal on the planet who needs to be trained on how to get along with all the other animals on the planet. And there is no God and no devil, and there's no conflict and no battle that is raging in the hearts of men. And folks, one of the reasons why we're seeing the world in the chaotic mess that it's in is because we are failing to realize the conflict. We just won't admit that the Bible is true. And this is an important fact of what the Bible is all about. I mean, it is as much a part of the purpose of the Bible to teach us the reality and the personality of the devil as it is to teach us the personality and the reality of God. And why is the world like it is? Because there's a devil who's fighting God. Because the devil fills people's hearts with deception, with lies, with deceit. I mean, why is there all this confusion? Why is there all this pain? Why is there all this disease and suffering and heartache and rebellion? Well, because there is a devil, and that devil is doing nothing but sowing his misery and destruction in the world. Why is there all this false religion? False doctrine. Why are there all these cults that abound? Well, folks, listen, when you got to realize that you go back into Genesis and read when God created the heaven and the earth, at the end of creation, he looked around and saw that all that he created was good. But what happened? I'll tell you what happened. The devil came along. You get in the third chapter, and the devil comes along, and Adam sins. And when Adam sinned, he plunged the human race into sin, and it's just been downhill ever since. And so we need to understand that the Bible reveals this to us. You're not going to get this from Britannica Encyclopedia. You're not going to get this from any philosophy course that you take in college. No, the Bible is the place that reveals all this to us. And folks, if you look around and realize the conflict, half of knowing how to fight the battle is knowing who your enemy is and realize that the devil is a real entity. Why is there all this trouble? Because there's a real conflict going on. And folks, this has been the conflict from the beginning. It has never stopped. It is never going to stop until the Lord Jesus comes and at the end of the millennium and casts the devil into the lake of fire. And it's a conflict we still fight today. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" In other words, Peter was asking him, "Hey, Ananias, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are?" Now, folks, listen, you're going to have to stand before God one of these days. And you better face God on God's terms. You bet there's no other way to face him. And you say, I'm going to take my chances with God. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. And so that's the truth that I want you to understand. That's what I want you to see. I want you to understand that the devil has been filling hearts ever since, and he's been trying to thwart the spread of the glorious gospel of Christ. And don't let the devil sow the wrong seed in your heart. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior, dear friend. You know, I love the Church of the Open Door. I thank God for this place. I thank God for the gospel that goes forth from this place. But let me tell you, dear friend, this church cannot save a soul. It cannot save a soul. There's only one that can do the saving. I mean, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. There's a second thing I want you to consider. I want you to consider from this verse that we are surrounded by the unseen realities. We are surrounded. Folks, here they were in the early days of the church. And here's this conflict raging. Here's God showing up. Here's the devil showing up. The truth is we are surrounded by the unseen realities. And that's what was happening here in Acts chapter 5. I say it again. Things were going well in the church. I mean, they had great power. They had they were preaching the gospel. Multitudes of people were getting saved. They were healing folks of terrible, awful diseases and infirmities. And it was clear to them, and it was clear to every person who saw what was going on, that the unseen reality of God was working. But I wonder how many of them understood that the devil was also working. You know, I just don't think that we're aware of that. Why has Satan filled thine heart? Why has Satan filled thine heart? Hey, folks, God was working, but the devil was also working. Have we lost sight of that truth? Have we lost sight of that? I think we have. You see, I don't think too many folks allow themselves to think in that realm. I don't know if we just don't like to think in that realm or what, but I just don't think a lot of us stop to think that the devil might be using something in our lives. The devil might be using us in some fashion or some way to thwart the work of God. Folks, listen, the devil will do anything he can, and he'll use anybody he can use in order to stop the work of God. And what Ananias and Sapphira did was a devilish thing that was hatched up in the mind and heart of the devil and then sown in their hearts by none other than the devil himself. You know, if we have a great service here, maybe, Sunday night service, or maybe even a Sunday morning service, we'll have a great service and we'll go out after church and somebody will say, "Wow, boy, God sure showed up today, didn't he? Wow, wasn't that great? Man, God showed up today." But wait a minute, what about when we don't have a great service? Is anybody quick to say, "Boy, the devil sure showed up today"? I mean, folks, listen, there's been times right at the very point that I'm trying to make, right at the very crucial part of the sermon, cell phones start going off, babies start crying, everybody decides they need to go to the bathroom all at the same time. I mean, it's just total chaos and it's just the nature of human beings that when somebody gets up, we all turn to watch them leave and we don't hear what's going on. I mean, you say, that preacher, he doesn't like you getting, he can't even go get a drink of water during the service. Listen, first of all, you're not going to thirst to death. Second of all, it's not that I don't want you having a drink. It's that I don't want you to miss anything. I don't want anybody around you to miss anything. And you say, "Pastor, what are you saying?" I'm saying the devil doesn't want you to get the truth. That's what I'm saying. You say, you mean the devil's behind me pushing me? Well, I'm saved. But there's a devil that hates God, and he's doing all he can to thwart and stop the work of God. Right. Folks, be aware of what the devil's trying to do. I used to joke when Joshua was a baby that it would get right down the invitation, and then the devil would pinch him. Yeah. He'd start crying during the invitation. Of course, this was years ago, when we didn't have much of a nursery, if we had one at all. And somebody would sit in the Sunday school class and hold him in their arms. We didn't have much of a nursery, just a little church. But I would joke. I'd say, the devil's just waiting until I get to the invitation to pinch Joshua to make him cry during the invitation. And I said that in jest, but my goodness, folks, realize what's going on. There is a real devil who is trying to thwart and to hinder and to hurt the work of God. Why has Satan filled thine heart? Why has Satan filled thine heart? Let me tell you something, folks. Nobody up here is perfect. All right? Not a one of us up here. We don't claim to be perfect. And yet when something happens here, the devil just puts it in your heart, and you get all bent out of shape, you get all mad, and you're not coming to church, and you're not serving God. And listen, you're not showing us. You don't come to church for us. You come to church for God. But you know the devil puts stuff in people's hearts. Why has Satan filled thine heart? Realize, folks, we are surrounded by these unseen realities. And you just ought to sit here this morning and make up your mind that you're not going to let the devil have anything in your heart. You're not going to let the devil push you. You're not going to let the devil get you mad at John Campbell. You're not going to let the devil get you mad at Alan Camperson. You're just going to serve God regardless of what else goes on. Well, I tell you, we've lost sight of that. We've lost sight of that. Well, I'm not going back. Why? Well, Larry Stainer said this. Well, Larry Stainer says a lot of stuff. Well, I'm not coming back. That preacher told me I was a sinner. You are. What's your problem with that? I mean, my goodness, folks. You come and you listen. I'm going to tell you a lot of other things probably that will make you mad too, but you don't come to church because of me. You come to church because there's a God, and you want God to show up, and you want God to bless you, and you want God to put His hand on you. Folks, listen, we've lost sight of that. And I'm saying don't let the devil put those little things in your heart that will keep you from being what you ought to be. I want you to understand the devil is still working today. He was working in this early church, and he's still working today. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 for just a minute. Let me read you a couple of verses. Paul understood this. Paul understood that the devil's working. He understood the conflict. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, amen, and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, listen to this now, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Dear friend, look at me. Your enemy is not the guy that's standing behind this pulpit preaching to you right now. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. That's what Paul said. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And Paul realized that it's these powers that are mentioned in verse 12, it is this unseen reality that is mentioned in verse 12 that is that organizes the evil in the world today. And that's what makes it so devilish, folks. That's what makes it so devilish. It is inspired by the devil. The evil that is in the world today does not merely come from human beings. People are driven. They are the victims. They are the dupes. They are the slaves to the unseen reality of the devil. The devil is the god of this world, and he enters into the hearts of men and women and masters them and controls them and uses them against God and against His gospel. And that is why the world is as it is today. That's why the church is as it is today. The devil fills people's hearts to do those things that thwart and hinder the work of the gospel. And we are surrounded by both unseen powers, and they are both fighting to win us. Of course, the devil hates God. He hates you. He hates the church. But he wants to win your heart so you won't live for God. And then there's God who convicts and uses the Holy Spirit and uses the Word of God to draw us to Himself. God loves you. Hey, folks, the devil hates you. I mean, who would you rather hang around, the one that loves you or the one that hates you? So don't listen to the devil. When he puts that in your heart, you just say, no, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not walking down that road. I'm not going to do it. And you live for the Lord and let God be your God. The devil would drag the whole universe down to hell with him if he could. And he's trying his best to do it. And we need to realize that if the devil was working in the early days of the church, you can be assured he's working today in the church, trying to stop the gospel. And that leads me to a third thing. This event shows us the certainty of answering to God. This shows us the certainty. Here's old Ananias and Sapphira. Can you see them now sitting around planning this thing out? Nobody will know. Hey, wait a minute, God knew. And they had to answer to God. And they had to answer in a very, very definite fashion. God struck them dead. God struck them dead. That's serious business, is it not? I mean, you know, this event shows us that we are responsible beings, responsible to the God who made us, and we are going to have to stand before God and answer to Him one of these days. Folks, there is no escaping that fact. No escaping it at all. Just picture Ananias and Sapphira sitting, eating dinner, talking this plan out. Ananias looks over and says, you know, the apostles will never know. Nobody will ever know. We'll give the impression that we're great spiritual giants, but really, we're just looking out for ourselves, and oh, how clever we are. Clever? No, foolish. Foolish to think that God is not watching. I remind you, dear friend, that in Hebrews 4:13, the Bible says that all things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You know what Ananias and Sapphira's problem was? They forgot the spiritual. They forgot God. But God didn't forget them. And dear friend, I want you to know God's not going to forget you either. Do you know the Lord this morning? Do you know Him? I mean, every one of us is impacted by the unseen. It's either the unseen God who has impacted us and we have believed in His Son and are saved and on our way to heaven, or it is the unseen devil. But mark it down, you've been impacted by the unseen. I ran into a fellow this week and I tried to witness to him. Well, I didn't try to witness. I did witness to him. He didn't want to get saved. And I said, sir, I said, why don't you want to receive the Lord? He said, well, I've been, and he named what he was, his denomination. He said, I've been that all my life. And I said, sir, to the best of my knowledge, your denomination is not found anywhere in this Bible. I said, I've read this thing from cover to cover, and I don't read your denomination anywhere in this. He said, well, I just have trusted this all my life to get me to heaven. I said, sir, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I did my dead level best to try to convince that man that it's not his religion, and it's not his church, and it's not his priest, and it's not his good works, and it's not his good deeds, it's Jesus. And there he stood, blinded, and could not see it. And I turned to the Bible and I said to John chapter 3, and I read it, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. And I said, now, sir, read that phrase right there. I said, what's it say? And I pointed to the words, ye must be born again. And I said, now, does it say you must be, and named his denomination? He said, no. I said, it says you must be born again. Sir, you've got to be saved. You've got to trust Jesus. This is not about your church. This is not about your mom and dad. This is not about your heritage. This is not about what you were raised. This is not about a building that's set somewhere. This is not about anything other than there is a God, and that God has sent His Son to die for our sin, and we must meet God on God's terms. And yet here's this unseen reality called the devil who is fighting against the unseen reality of God. And the devil is using religion to capture this man's heart and to keep him from getting saved. Folks, listen. Don't listen to what the devil's telling you. There's a God. You've got to follow the God of heaven. Mark it down. Ultimately, every man will stand before the eternal God of heaven. And according to Revelation 20 and verse 12, the Bible says, and the books were open. God is one day going to open your record. He is one day going to open your record. Do you realize, dear friend, that there is nothing that you have ever done, nothing that you have ever said, nothing that you have ever thought that is not recorded in God's record? He knows it all. He sees it all. He records it all. And so here you sit, not saved. Here you sit, and you're just stubborn and bullheaded as you can be, and saying, you know, I'm just going to go my way. I'm going to take my chances. You're going to lose. Don't listen to that devil. He is trying to get you to just stay in that thinking and think that the world revolves around you and your mind and your heart. No, we've got a book. And this book tells us the way it is. And I'm telling you, don't listen to the devil. You listen to what God is saying. And so if you'll pardon my boldness, I need to just be a little bold here and say it. Who do you think you are? I mean, who do you think you are? Do you think that somehow or another God's going to hold all the rest of us accountable to this book and to being born again except for you? Who do you think you are? No, my friend, you need the Lord just like I needed the Lord. Just like the day I got saved, you need to get saved. And I'm begging you and pleading with you this morning. Do you think for a minute that you are exempt from answering to your Creator? Do you think for a minute that some way, somehow, you're going to squeak by and God is going to exempt you from sin? He's not going to exempt you. You say, well, Pastor, what do I do? What do I do? Well, you come to the Lord. I mean, you come to Jesus. That's what you do. You just realize you're a sinner. You say, Pastor, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I can't. This church can't save me. You can't save me. Pastor, I guess I'm just going to have to come to Jesus. That's exactly what you need to do. For there is no other way. But boy, we need to realize these unseen realities. I'm going to stand with God. And I'm just going to stand with God. And so I need to ask you one more time. Who do you think you are? Folks, listen, this is God's book. God tells us how it's supposed to be. And let's just believe God. The unseen reality. The unseen reality of God. May God open our eyes to see this battle that's raging and just follow after the God of heaven. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's take a minute now and think about what we've heard. Let's take a minute and think about our relationship with God. My friend, what are you trusting to get you to heaven? What are you trusting? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask you a couple of personal questions. I want you to be honest with me and with yourself and with God. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, how many here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved. And I know it. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know for sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you're on your way to heaven? Preacher, I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. No doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. And I know that I'm saved. No doubt about it. Amen. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now, our heads are still bowed and our eyes are closed. Not everybody could raise their hand right there. And I appreciate your honesty. Now, let me ask you, dear friend, if you could not raise your hand, would you raise it right now and say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand with everybody else. I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I'm concerned about my soul. I know I need to be saved. And, preacher, I'd like for you to pray for me this morning. Would you lift your hand, dear friend? Let me pray for you. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you and ask God to speak to your heart. Would you lift your hand right now? You couldn't raise it a moment ago to say you know you're saved, but would you raise it right now and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I need to be saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you this morning? Just lift your hand right now. Everybody ought to lift their hand at least once. You're either saved or you're not saved. And if you're not saved, what harm does it do for me to pray for you, huh? Could I pray for you this morning? Just lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Anybody like that today? All right, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many of you here will say, Pastor, I am saved, but, you know, I'm letting the devil put some things in my heart that are hindrance. They're hurting. And, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart today. God's speaking to me. And I don't want to be a tool of the devil. I don't want the devil to use me as a hindrance to the work of the ministry, of people being saved. I don't want God. I don't want the devil to use me against God. And Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart today. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you all over the building. Yes, God bless you, folks. Amen. 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 That's wonderful. All right. Now, Father, you know our needs today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will bless. Lord, what a stark statement is found in that third verse. Two unseen realities, God and the devil. And Lord, this has been the conflict all along. The devil doing everything he can to stop and hinder the work of God. Lord, help us to see this. Help us to understand that the devil is constantly badgering and trying to use us. Why has Satan filled thine heart? Oh, Lord, help us not to be listening to the devil as he fills our hearts to do those things that would cause problems for the church of Jesus Christ, for the spreading of the gospel. Lord, may we be tools that are used of the Holy Spirit to build and not to tear down. Oh, God, just help us. I pray, Lord, all over this room this morning, all over the auditorium, people raising their hands and saying that Lord, they want your blessing. They want to be used by you and not be pawns of the devil. Well, Lord, help us this morning to just yield ourselves and consecrate ourselves to get in the Word of God and to fight this spiritual battle with spiritual weapons. Lord, help us to take the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness and all these parts of the armor. And Lord, just stand and stand and stand and stand until Jesus comes. Father, help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.